Good morning. It's good to see such a full house. It's going to get fuller as the years, days go by, weeks go by. Well, how's everybody doing? It's so funny. I was thinking, you know, we're out of toilet paper in this country, evidently, wherever you go. But we're not out of joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness. All of those things that really make life sing, we have plenty of that because we have who in us? Christ in us. Last week we talked about, I want to recap a little bit. We talked about Ephesians 1, 17 through 20, where our eyes of understanding, remember that prayer Paul had for the believers there in Ephesus, that we know the power of God and we know what power lives within us because That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives where? Now, I think about that. Think about it. We may stop and think about things through this teaching a little bit because we're going to talk about our thoughts, our minds, and how the adversary really tries to work through our thoughts to drive our emotions in a certain direction so that our decisions are based upon feelings and thoughts that aren't God's thoughts. And yet we're going to see from the Word how God sees this whole perspective. And the power that really lives within us is there. But like any other power, you got to use it. Because remember we saw last week, God's not going to what? Make us. He gave us a free will. He is going to need us to operate that free will if we can work together with Him as partners, which is what He says we need to do. So, you know what? We have that power in us. We have Christ in us. Philippians, Colossians, remember we looked at those verses. And there's so many, many more. And we don't come from the point of victims. We come from the point of what? Victory. Victoriously. We have been promised a more than abundant life. And that's really where our minds should start every morning. God, you have promised me an abundant life. God, you have promised me fill in the blank. Whatever it is your heart needs that morning, fill in the blank. Because God has provided that for us freely. Freely was given, so freely we can give, right? John 5:30 says, Jesus Christ tells us, I can of myself do nothing. Remember we talked about that, needing to be partners with God because in and of ourselves, can we accomplish this? Nope. And you know what? God basically has kind of put himself in the spot where without us, there are many things in our lives he can't do because it demands our freedom of will to work with him in order to see some of these promises. So don't sell yourself short. I know a lot of times we're like, don't be proud. And I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about honesty before God. We need to work with our Heavenly Father. It is so, so important to be obedient to God's word. Just think of where we would be if Jesus Christ had said, God, I love you. You know I love you, Father. I've done everything you've asked me to do, but I just can't leave this garden and go hang on that cross. You think God would have showed mercy and love towards him anyway? Yeah, but where would we be? Where would we be? So there is a partnership between us that is very important, and it takes us to walk in great wisdom, to listen to God's thoughts, and then act accordingly in partnership, together, moving in the same direction with our Heavenly Father. I hope some of you are able, or all of you are able that we're here, to read that section in Luke. Remember where Jesus Christ had just been baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and went back to Jerusalem and out into where? The wilderness. 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no water. I mean, but you know what? He needed to do that so God could teach him how to clearly and effectively hear his voice. Jesus Christ was a human being. I know people are going to go, oh, can't believe she said this, but he made mistakes. Now, he didn't sin, but he was a kid. He had to learn that that's hot. Don't touch it. Don't walk into that fire pit where I'm cooking our bread tonight because you'll get burned. You know, he had to learn certain things just like we did. And one of the things I know his parents had to have taught him was obedience to God's word. He had to read the Old Testament to know who he was. So he had a power source already in his heart before that spirit came upon him to do the will of his father. 12 years old, you know he had to have his head in the word. Isn't that awesome? And yet, in Luke, if you read that, you would see at the very beginning, the question that he tried to get Jesus Christ to believe and respond to is, if you are the Son of God, then do this. If you are the Son of God, do that. Well, I'll take you up here and I'll give you all this power if you'll just bow down and worship me. If you are the Son, his identity was what Jesus Christ had to really understand and know when he walked out of that wilderness and into that battle with Satan. And we are in a spiritual battle today, just like he was then. And you know what? I was so blessed with what Bob shares. He's going to really go into in a lot more detail is that Christ in us and who we are, our identity in Christ, because that is exactly what he's going to try to talk us out of. He'll use many ways, thoughts, actions, emotions, friends, situations, the virus of the world. I mean, really. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't walk in wisdom. Of course, this is a time to walk in wisdom, you know, and go to God and ask God. But we don't need to walk in fear. You know, it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind means you have to keep the thoughts of God going on up there. So, yes, we are cautious. We listen for God's voice. But you know what? If God tells you to go to somebody's house and minister to them, then you go. If God tells you to stay home, then you stay home. We need to walk with that power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he always did the Father's will. So his mind was always set in alignment with God's. And I know that may sound like, oh, man, I can't do that, Vicki. That's a lie. Yes, you can. Because you have Christ in you. Is it easy all the time? Nope. Is it available? Yes, it is. Because God says so. So I choose to believe either the lie, which then makes me in a partnership in a way with the devil, or I can believe the truth of God's word, keep confessing it, keep asking God to teach me how to be more sharp with it, how to believe it bigger. I mean, we have to see the boundaries here, you know? One of the things that Jesus Christ did that was so different than what Eve did in the garden. Remember, he tried to talk her out of the word and it succeeded. But you know why? Because she engaged in a conversation with him. You know what Jesus Christ did? He spoke the word. He never engaged in the conversation. Every answer was the word of God out of his mouth. That's what we need to do. When those negative thoughts or those thoughts that are contrary to God's word get thrown into our brains, because what you think upon is going to be what you're going to act upon. You know, they've done a lot of studies with the thought process, which we'll look at as we get into the word. One of the most amazing ones, it just was like, man, this is so awesome for Christian believers who know what we know. Because a person that puts his thoughts into something positive, and usually they have an image in their mind or a person like a football coach or, you know, your best teacher in the world, and this is the person I want to look at. This is how I want to be. A person who locks that into their thinking pattern, it's been proven scientifically that they are the ones that succeed the most. Who do you identify with? We got it made. We identify with Jesus Christ. Come on. That's who our identity is. So when you doubt who you are, stop. That's a lie from the devil. Stop doubting. Give God, give the Christ in you the benefit of the doubt. Tell the devil to go hang himself. The worst thing you can do is the best thing you can do for yourself and for the glory of God is the opposite of a negative thing that the devil's trying to get you to think upon, dwell upon, and then do. It's just, look at 1 Peter. I love this section of the word because you know what? Jesus Christ was tempted in all ways as we were, right? So that means He's going to come to tempt, not Jesus, the adversary is going to come to tempt us the same way he did Jesus Christ. That's how he works. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, whose adversary? Our adversary, the devil, roams about or walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He resists him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now look, we all go through stuff, right? But this is the liar. He is the father of lies. That's the roaring lion. That's who that is. And you know what? We need to not allow him to influence the things we think about so much or for so long. We need to be sharp and ready to take a stand. The word sober in this verse, did I read that one yet? Okay, that's the next one. Okay, who's got it open? Who's at the, are you there? Okay. Well, I want you to read. I didn't put it on my notes. Uh-oh. I want you to read the next verse. Be sober, be vigilant. Oh, we did do that. Yeah, be sober, be vigilant. Okay, sorry. To be sober means to abstain from wine. That's what it means. But it's not talking about you can't ever have a glass of wine. Because the real strong meaning of this is to keep sober, to keep your head clear. You know, because the adversary's going to look for convenient times. And it just doesn't have to do with wine. It has to do with your thought process. Keep sober. Figuratively, it means be discreet, okay? With your own mind, with your heart. You got to guard your mind. And then seeking is to seek. Depending on the context, it literally or figuratively means that keep seeking in a bad sense, to plot against someone, to hurt someone. And that's what he's doing. He's seeking the devil. He's seeking us because he has a plot against us. And he wants that plot to work. Now, on the positive side, it's seek the Lord. Seek God. So he's seeking us to try to do this bad thing to us. One of the things we do to resist that is we seek God and his word to counteract that. I thought that was such a cool usage there, that it had both the bad and the best. And it's our choice. We get to make the choice on how we operate that, okay? To devour means to completely drink up, to gulp everything down. Nothing left. That's what he wants to do to our lives, devour our lives. And he starts with thoughts. He starts with getting us to doubt who our God is, who we are in Christ, and what we can really do. We must be determined that we believe we are who God says we are. We can do what God says we can do. We can have what God says we can have, and we can act upon the things that God has promised us to act upon. And we can do it when? Now. We don't need to wait. We need to understand that what God says we can do, people, is the truth. And we grab that and we don't let go of it, no matter how we feel. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. It's pretty obvious with the things going on in this entire universe, this world that we live in. Ephesians 6, we're going to go to verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So we know we're in a spiritual battle, right? We saw that last week. I'm reminding us of it this week. I think it's good to understand what we're dealing with, but it is not good to be afraid of it. We have more power than the power in this world. Isn't that what 1 John 4:4 says? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in where? So fear does not need to be a part of our thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's start in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, stronghold is somewhere where we've allowed our thoughts, our feelings, to be manipulated by the adversary to cause us to not make good decisions. And we've built a pattern in that area of our life that is really hard for us to come up against because of the thoughts we've held, because of the actions and feelings we've taken. That's a stronghold. But pulling down strongholds. Now, how do we pull down a stronghold? Casting down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You want to get rid of a bad habit pattern? That's how you do it. How can you not understand that? How can we look at that and not go, I can do this. I can have the knowledge of God. I can break this bad habit. You know what? If we keep doing the same things all the time, over and over, we don't change our thinking. We don't try to do something different that can change things. If we keep doing that and think things are going to change, that's insane. You cannot continue to do the same habit pattern, especially you don't want to continue the bad ones. And then go, God, why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you changing things? He can't change things without our cooperation in our hearts and in our lives. We have a responsibility. You know what? You want to see things change? This is what you got to do. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of who? Bringing every thought. Whoa, 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 God. Every thought? I didn't write it. Bringing every thought into captivity. Captivity to what? To the word of God. You bring all those negative thoughts and you put the word of God right there and you go, no, no, this is, I don't care how I feel. This is what God's word says. Because if you think your thoughts aren't that big a deal, God's telling you something totally different in just this one verse. And believe me, there are many others that he makes it very clear what our thoughts do or don't do. And thoughts will affect your feelings. And feelings that are acted upon because of negative thoughts will result in negative actions. And you will be saying and doing things that maybe 20 or 30 minutes later, when God's able to get through that, you'll go, I can't believe I said that to that person. Because that's how he works. That's why it's so important. Every thought captive. Bringing every thought captive to the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience. Now we have every thought captive to God. And look at this. Really think about this. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, why does God tell us to do that? Because he put Christ in us so we could do that. Don't let the devil talk you out of being able to be strong and committed and ready to stand against the adversary when he attacks your life with even the smallest, teeniest little lie. We are made with Christ's sense. Once you are born again of God's Spirit, it changes everything if we listen, if we receive the written and revelation word of God that he gives us, and we walk out on that. We change how we feel. We change it. We change it. I think this is awesome. Into the obedience of Christ. Who wouldn't like to obey like Jesus Christ did? I mean, I would, you know. I think it's so cool. And verse 6, and being ready. Now, this doesn't get us off the hook. I love God put this in here. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So it's not a judgment thing when we go around thinking we're so ha, ha, ha. No, he's saying be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I haven't got there yet. I don't know about you guys, but I am not where I totally obey God all the time. I'm working on it. So you know what? There's no room for us to be judgmental of one another, because we have the ability to walk like Christ. It's not for that use, okay? And I just thought, that's cool, because God doing this big build-up. Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he goes, but, you know, you got to get yourself together before you start correcting everybody else. I think God's so cool. He knows how to do this stuff, doesn't he? Okay, so we've talked a little bit about our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings. And who is our identification? Jesus Christ. That's who we identify with. That's where our thoughts should be. That's who our heart should be opened up to. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Well, that's a good idea. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his what? Thoughts. What do you think makes a man unrighteous? Thoughts. Correct. Let him return to the Lord. Now, this is Old Testament, but the principle is still powerful to understand and to do. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, this is God, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God wants our thoughts to agree with his thoughts. Why? Because it's the power that backs the adversary down. If we don't allow that Christ in us to rise to the surface and line up our thinking with God's word or what God has shown you through the Spirit of God, then you know what? We're not going to be successful. God wants us successful. Think about it. Does God want anything bad to happen to you? Is God ever think that about us? Okay, so why do we think bad things about each other or ourselves? We need to go, whoa, no, I'm not going to be talked out who I am. I have Christ in me, and I am not going to allow somebody who hurt my heart, I don't care how bad the hurt was, I'm not going to allow them to influence my thinking about forgiveness. I'm going to forgive. I don't care. God says I should forgive. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving those, right? Forgiving others, like who Christ has forgiven us. I mean, how can that be bad? That isn't bad. And if that's where we, every time you think about a person that, well, you know, come on, let's just be honest. We all have gone through this. We've all been hurt, some more deeply than others, some by people we totally trust, some by strangers even sometimes. If we dwell upon that rejection or whatever that hurt was, you know what? That's not going to change anything in our life except to make us more bitter, to make us more anxious, right? So why think those things? We want to operate the power of God that lies within us. We want our identity to be with Jesus Christ. The adversary will fight this in any way he can, you guys. But our thoughts, a thought, think about it. It's so powerful. Our thoughts lead to actions and what? Words. Now, anybody read Genesis, the first four or five chapters of Genesis? I'll just say the first two chapters. God used what to create the universe? God says that life and death is in the power of what? The tongue. And what does the tongue do? Speaks words. Now look at what God did. Thousands of years ago, his words created this universe. And everything man needs in this universe was created in 7 days. By God Almighty speaking the word. Now, when you're attacked by the adversary, when I'm attacked by the adversary, you know what we need to do? Speak the word to ourselves. Speak it. And if you can't get yourself to speak it, then pick up your Bible and use more of your five senses. Read it out loud. Use your eyes. Use your ears. Use your words to rebuild what the devil's trying to break down in your heart that day, no matter what it is. Because you know what? We are victors. We are victors. And nothing can separate us from God. And we need to believe this in a practical way, guys. Go to Mark 7. God works with us every way he can, man, through each one of our senses. And the senses we need to hear God from is our spiritual senses. The worldly senses, the five senses, that's the avenue the adversary tries to use. Mark 7, verse 20. And he said, what comes out of man? This is Jesus Christ said. What comes out of man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of man proceed what? Evil thoughts, idolatries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man. You know, he had been dealing with the scribes and Pharisees and stuff in this situation where they're trying to trip him up again, you know. But Jesus Christ talks about the heart, what comes from the heart. And that word heart is kardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. And it means the core of our being. And that's what I'm trying to communicate here today. When God looks at our heart, that's what he's looking at, okay? That's what he wants us to lock in with him. And our heart is the core of our being. It's the place where our thoughts, where our desires, where our feelings are. And it's the place where we come to the point, one way or the other, God's way or the devil's way. That's the only two ways there are. There's not Vicky's way. Because if I'm not doing God's way, I bet you $10 I'm over in this side, even though I don't want to be. Okay? But the heart is the most inner part of us that makes our decisions and judgments in our life. It's the thing that motivates us to take the action we end up taking. So if our thoughts are not lined up with God's word, that's why it's so important to God to line our thoughts up with his. Because only then will our ways be lined up with his ways. Only then we can actually live this abundant life he's promised us. And if our heart is full of negatives and doubt and lies, if we feed on that, if we believe that and we think about it and we let our emotions get in control, I guarantee you, you're going to be walking on the other side of the street. And God does not want that for us. So when God's looking at our hearts, that's what he's looking at, okay? Our action, good or bad, are a result of what's in our hearts. And too many times our hearts are controlled by our emotions, our feelings. Go to Proverbs 4. This is extremely important for us to really believe and get into our hearts. And you know what, guys? It's a challenge for everybody. It is. There's nobody who's an exception to the adversary trying to control. He wants to take all of us down. Not one, not two, all. Whoever will let him. So Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of it spring the issues of life, guys. Our lives, as we live it, as we walk it, it is God's word. It is God's word that we need to guard our heart with. How? Diligently, not haphazardly. Not, gosh, you know, I'm so tired, I don't really want to do this, you know. I mean, I'll read the word in the morning, God. Okay, so don't read the word. Talk to God instead when you're going to sleep. Have a conversation with him. Speak the word with God. Say, God, thank you. Just thank him, you know. You don't want to forgive somebody? You know what? Start thanking God for something. Maybe thank him for what he's forgiven you for. When I have a hard time forgiving somebody, I make my mind go there. I slap it around. I don't want to go there. Too bad. Remember what God forgave you? Remember that person forgave you? Remember? Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. Pretty soon, your thoughts are not going to be negative. And your actions are going to take on a new, powerful meaning in your life. I mean, this works. I've done it. I've had to do it. And I'm telling you, through the years I've been in the Word, and Barney and I have counseled with people and talked with people, the adversary really trips people up in three major categories: unconditional love, unforgiveness, and not wanting to abundantly share. Those are the three major categories. And yet God created us to give. Look at the service life of Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about money when I say this. I'm talking about service, giving on all levels of our life, our heart, our time, our energy, and our finances. These are the areas where the devil talks us out of living the greatness of God's word. So stop him. That's all we need to do. We just need to speak the word. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Get it? Okay. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, it does. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But we do have the Spirit of Christ. God does dwell within us. We can overcome our flesh, our carnal thinking, with God's thinking. We do have those things. And Romans 12:1-2, we know this verse, right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's a nice little, which is your reasonable service, guys. And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what does our mind hold? So we have to line our thoughts up with God's thoughts so that we can live like this. So we won't be conformed to this world. And that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, it's like the cardinal mind. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. God's thoughts. I'm telling you to love unconditionally. That's what God's thought is. God tells you to put the past behind you. The cardinal mind says, oh, I can't. It's too hard. I just can't do it, God. Yes, you can do it. Don't believe the lie. Remember, Jesus Christ said he is a liar and he's the father of lies, okay? Hebrews 12 tells us that the word of God is sharper, is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing even the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of what? The thoughts and intents of the heart. These are just a few of the verses. I mean, we could be here for hours. We're not going to be, but I'm just saying. It's important to God to get us this message, okay? Let's close in Philippians 4. This is a great place to put your mind at any time. You know, and we have to control our mind. When it starts to object to what God's telling us and it's trying to tell us something different, go to Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Let the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's a very important verse. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know what meditate means? Think about it. Think about it. Think about what we just read. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think about those things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That is a promise from God's word. When we are at peace, we're thinking God's thoughts. Our thoughts are lined up with his thoughts. And it's so much easier to hear him and to follow his directions when our heart is at peace. This is not hard. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but it's not hard. We just have to change our minds. And as we change our minds and line our thoughts up with God's thoughts, then we're transformed. He does the transforming in our hearts. So we're stronger, and the next battle is easier. We can't give it up. We just got to keep standing. That's what it talks about in Ephesians. And having done all what? Stand. And it's got to start right up here with the things you think and allow yourself to dwell on and then allow your life to be. Okay? So, God, we're so thankful that your word is so powerful. There's so, so much in there, God. But just give us the heart and the courage. You've given us the power. Give us the heart of courage to step out and take a stand in these situations where your word needs to be fought for in our own lives and in each other's lives. And even, Father, we have the power to pray for the world because of the spirit that lives within us. So thank you, God, for trusting us with that. Thank you for helping us to see clearly what you've called us to be and what you've asked us to do, and that we can do it with you, Father. We're so thankful for your love, your heart, your mercy, and your grace towards us, and for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's his head name that I pray. Amen. Amen. So go out and have a great week, guys. Okay?